Hello, everybody. This is Chris Filicello from The Teacher and the Min. I am here with my partner, Gary Armida, who is also known as The Teacher. And we're excited to start our first podcast. So we're going to start off by letting our listeners know a little bit about us. And Gary, why don't you start? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So it's been 22 years in this field as an English teacher. Started out in Pomona Middle School as an eighth grade English teacher and then moved to North Rockland, where I've been ever since, the last 17 years, and have taught pretty much every grade level. This year is actually the first year I'm teaching seniors for the first time, and that's the final frontier as the secondary ed teacher. So,
yeah, sure.
And what about you?
Yeah, so believe it or not, you know, I'm currently the assistant superintendent for instruction, curriculum, teaching, and started as a teacher, as a phys ed teacher. So when I tell people my roots, they sometimes wonder how I ended up in curriculum. But it's been a long and interesting journey. I got my administration degree, and really because I wanted to be an athletic director as a former coach. But my first job opportunity was in a small district in upstate New York called Chester. And I was the assistant principal and also the athletic director. Not too long after that, I was named the middle school principal. Kept the athletic director position, and found that I loved being a principal so much. So I looked for a job in a bigger district, which landed me in North Rockland, where we worked together now, and became a principal, and then ended up in central office as assistant superintendent for HR, and now my current position, which is a long title, but assistant superintendent for educational services. But it's been a great journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you and I have come a long way in the last year and a half. We have, you know, we've started our webpage or our blog, the Teacher and the Admin, and we're pleasantly surprised by the amount of positive feedback and readership we got, and that led us into a book deal with Marlena Taylor for EduGladiators, and we're so excited to have our book come out, The Teacher and the Admin, Making Schools Better for Kids. And you know, that I still remember that day driving back from schools to watch, and
yeah,
it was interesting, right?
I remember a lot of things from that drive. You know, first, you making fun of me because I didn't have an easy pass that first time.
Who does not have an easy pass? It's 2019, and this guy is pulling out change out of his pocket. We're looking in the coffee holder for nickels and dimes. I couldn't believe it. He doesn't have an easy pass. Doesn't everybody have an easy pass?
Well, I have one now, you know, so we're good.
I am very proud of you that you now have an easy pass. Yeah. That is certainly a positive.
You know, I will say my fiance actually got me the easy pass, so I didn't even get one myself.
So I offered for how long? It was no. Mm-hmm. Then he falls in love, and now he's got an easy pass.
Okay. All right.
So we have that, but I do remember sitting in that one line, and you were like, you know, if you had an easy pass, we'd be way past us by this point.
Yeah, well, that was after about, you know, five times where, you know, the hard break spilled my drink, and, you know, I was a little nervous that day, I have to say. My anxiety was
yeah, you were high. A little jumpy. Every time I hit the brakes, he was, like, jumping out of his seat, which was made for an interesting ride. But that ride, you know, born out of that ride was this book.
Yeah, and I still remember when you and I saw Rick Wormley.
Yep.
Rick Wormley, I'm sorry, I always say Wormley is one of my weaknesses. I
we
can't pronounce
the Italian.
The Italian, you know.
Yeah.
But Rick Wormley, you know, we are big fans of Rick Wormley's work, mm-hmm. and have read you know, all of his books and listened to him speak several times, and he's really just a guru in education. But when we went up and introduced ourselves, and I still remember what he said to us, that do you remember what he said?
He's like, when are you guys writing your book?
Yeah, and it was like, wow, us write a book, and then he said we were. What was he said about us? Our writing, it was eloquent writing,
yeah.
or something along those. I get that for you as the English teacher, but you know, the phys ed guy, like an eloquent writer, one of my heroes in education, saying that, and we're like, damn, we're doing this. We have to write a book. If this mm-hmm. guy's telling us to write a book, and he's, you know, he's one of the top in the field, then we have to do it. And I think we started sketching out the chapters on that ride home.
That ride home, you hooked up your laptop to my phone, and we started banging out like chapters, and you know what we wanted to do, and we're like, we're gonna make this happen. And You know, and that's one of the things, you know, working with you that really has pushed me through, because I have that English teacher thing where it's
you
like
guys are a little elitist sometimes, I have
to say. A little elitist and these grand ideas, you know, were like, you know, fluffy foo-foo in a lot of ways. And, you know, you were like, we're going to do this and this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, and a few months later, we had a book deal.
Yeah. Know, still seems surreal. I don't know.
It really does.
It does. And so for our listeners, you know, the format of our book and the first, hopefully of many, is that we pick different topics that we're passionate about in education. And that's our chapter. The first of our book is Building Trust is our first chapter. And, you know, we have a little intro that is written by the two of us. And then I take it on from an administrator's position and how can an administrator help to build trust between teachers, staff, and the administrative team. And then Gary takes it on from the teacher's perspective, and then we have some key takeaways. And we were really, really happy with how it turned out and how you can kind of see the two different voices speaking about one topic from a variety of views.
Right, and that's exactly what we wanted, because nothing can ever be done without the two sides. And I hate using the word sides, but unfortunately that's how it is and that's how it's viewed. But without the two of us collaborating together, you know, and, you know, our friendship was born out of really working together from, quote unquote, the opposite sides. And, you know, when we realized we were like-minded and, I said one day, oh, I want to write about education. You're like, oh, can I do that too? Can we do this together? And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. And we realized that without trust between us, nothing can ever move forward.
And that's it. And, you know, and again, and you say that, you know, the two sides, and there's neither position is more important than the other. Mm-hmm. You can be an administrator, you could be a teacher, you could be a custodian, you could be a TA, whatever your role is, a secretary. I think we both believe that if you're a good guy, you're going to have a positive impact on the school, on the culture, on the kids, and get better outcomes for kids. And it's really just about like being a good person and figuring out what each and every kid needs and just doing our best to kind of get through the red tape and the people that maybe are a little narrow-sighted and helping our students get where they need to go. And I think that was one of our first connections to say, like, what's best for the kid?
Exactly. And that's what we've always been at, what's best for kids. And, you know, through the year plus of doing our site, you know, we've always focused on that. And I think that galvanized a little bit when we both met Manny Scott in person for the first time.
Oh, my God. What an inspirational speaker. That guy, I mean, listen, I've listened to a lot of great speakers, and when we heard him, I think we saw him first at ASCD that time, and you know, I remember you and I looked at each other and said, "Wow, I'd love to hear him in North Rockland." And our superintendent, Mrs. Eckert, said, "We got to get this guy."
Yep.
And then when he actually came and spoke to our staff, and everybody was riveted, and everybody was crying, and just like it kind of changed our whole persona about how we see certain things, and then. You know, even though he kind of gave me a little bit of a hard time when I was taking his pictures, I was like, oh,
he
man,
did.
This guy is like, you know, I broke his flow, I guess. But then afterwards, when we spoke to him, he was just such a cool dude. He was just normal guy that was just like speaking real to us. And you could tell he's the type of guy I'd like to work with. I'd like to have in my school. I'd like to have a beer with. I'd like to chat with. I'd like to watch a movie with. So it's just it was definitely kind of life-changing to see him speak.
It was. And, you know, just hearing his story about how he broke through, and it wasn't just a teacher or an admin. It was, you know, the lunch lady telling him to go forward. You know, so what you were saying before about, like, you know, your title doesn't matter, you know, and that's kind of what we're all about. Our title doesn't matter, you know, like, you know, a lot of schools, it's, you know, unions versus unions, you know, teachers versus admins, and really we're about, you know, working
the people,
together.
The people,
exactly.
Right? It's like, and it, again, like, it does not matter what your role is. You can have a huge impact on kids, and we all offer value.
Right.
So how can, regardless of what our title is, give the most value to our kids, to our school, to make it the best place it can be? Because, listen, you know, there's so many good people in education, and so many people that want to do right by kids, but a lot of times the system and the practices that have been done over and over and the way we do things over and over prevents people right. sometimes from stepping out of that box and saying, oh, maybe there's a better way to do it. And I think that's kind of what we've been trying to get at in our book, to give people permission to say, maybe we can do it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Not that we weren't trying to do our best, but, you know, it's time to progress. Things progress. Right. And that's, I think, what we're about in terms of what we want to do educationally.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, as we're in our first podcast here and we start thinking about what we want to do and does anybody even care what we have to say, what's your vision for us moving forward in our podcast? What do you think would be a good setup and what do you think make people want to come back to listen to us?
You know, I think we, you know, we take on issues in education and there are some absolute issues in education, you know, whether it be equity among students, you know, whether it be, you know, homework, which is something we're both passionate about. And
I feel like I'm like Dr. Homework now. Everybody's like, homework. It's like, all right, I don't want to hear Phil Cello talk about homework anymore, you know.
Right.
But I was on Ernie Anastas.
You were, and you killed it. So, you know, and whether it's that or, you know, whether it's.
Although
I did
compare homework to smoking. So I was getting some heat about that.
That's like, all right. You know, taking heat is a good thing.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
If, yeah. if we're taking heat, that means we're doing something well, you know, and, you know, whether it's that or it's whether it's, you know, student mental health or, you know, whether it's inviting parents into school more and making them feel a part of the team. I think, you know, that's something both of us, you know, have worked really hard to kind of unite the fronts, the two sides and really try to make it better, because in the end, if we don't work together, nothing's going to get done.
So let me ask you a question, Gary. If I were to ask you, what would you want a student to say about you, or you want them to describe you, and how would you want a teacher or a parent or anybody to describe you as a teacher and as a person? What would you say? What would you want them to say about you?
I would want them to say, and it's a great question, but I would really want them to say that I valued them as an individual, that they weren't just someone taking a seat in my class. They weren't someone just filling space. They were someone who mattered, and they were someone who I knew their passions, and I knew what they wanted to do. And that's really what it's about. And I'll ask you the same question as an admin. You know, what do you want students? Because, you know, I have the luxury of seeing kids every single day in a class in an intimate setting. What do you want as an admin for a kid?
You know, it's funny you say that. And I guess now, as a building principal, I knew all my kids and mm-hmm. knew my families. And when I moved to the central office, that was the biggest shift for me and the biggest thing that I found difficult to get used to, the fact that I didn't have that close relationship. I guess now the biggest satisfaction I get is when I'll walk into a school and kids will know who I am. And I hear somebody say, hey, Dr. Felicello, and give me a high five. Because that goes back to what you're saying. They know who I am, and we've built a relationship, and right. they know I'm focused on kids, and I want to make it better for them, and I care about them. So what would I want people to say about me? That, you know what, I know I'm flawed. I know I got plenty of mistakes I've made over the years. I know there's plenty of things that I still can mm-hmm. do better at and can improve at. But I want people to say, he's a good guy. He's trying to look out for me. He's trying to do the best he can. And I know if I need something or I need somebody to be in my corner, he'll be there. So I guess that's the most thing that I want my teachers to say about me, my kids to say about me, my parents to say about me. He's in my corner. If I need something, I know I can count on him. He'll do his best to help me out.
So in other words, we both have pretty much the same message, which is we're about kids, and we want kids and parents and other teachers, colleagues to know that we're there. And, you know, what gets lost a lot of times is this us against them mentality. And that's something we're both trying to break through right now.
Absolutely. And even, like, I catch myself sometimes getting, you know, if I'm having a conversation with a parent who's angry trying to make an argument, or a mm-hmm. teacher that's angry, make an argument. Why am I right? No, like, I want to see it from their point of view. Right. I want to try to say, how can we come together? Everybody wants the best for their kids. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be a good teacher. Everybody wants to be a good administrator. How can we look at each other's point of view and come together and do that together so that, you know, ultimately we can be an organization that we're proud to work for. We can be a student that's proud of our school. We can be a parent to say, yeah, my kid went to North Rockland, and, right. and I'm proud of the education. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, what we're both about.
Right. And it comes down to, you just hit something that I know I wrote in the book, and I refer to it a lot. You know, my former department chair, when I first started out year two, he said, no one comes to work trying to make things worse for kids, and that's the thing that we have to hold on to. You know, like, we all want to make it better, and we just all have to trust each other a little bit and see the best in each other and really keep the kids in focus.
Yeah, so as we, you know, hopefully you guys will check out the book, because I think it's going to give you some mm-hmm. great examples and some great specifics on how teachers and administrators and everybody can come together to make not only the school a better place for kids and not only give the kids a better environment to learn in, but also to make your work be more meaningful and mm-hmm. be more enjoyable and make you feel more content as an educator.
Right.
So we're really excited about that. And we'll continue to talk about different topics as we move forward in these podcasts and as you'll see in our book. But right now, I think we'd like to move on to something a little more important, or maybe not more important, but something we're pretty passionate about, movies.
Right.
Gary, number one movie, what is it?
My number one movie of all time is Rocky II.
Rocky II, God, that's in my top five, Rocky II. I love Rocky II. Why is it better than Rocky I?
It's better than Rocky I only because I think it's a better movie, first of all, and I like the whole redemption thing. And I like the fact that, you know, he's got a little doubt in his mind. You know, he's already lost the first time and he took a beating, but he came back strong in the second one and was willing to take a beating again. So,
yeah. I mean, love Rocky.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Honestly, I have to be clear on this. I think Rocky IV is underrated.
It is. You know, it's not one of my favorites. Like, I'll go on to, like, you know, Rocky Balboa, even before that one when he's a little older, and even the Creed movies. I don't know if you count
love
those.
I love the Creed
movies.
Do
you count the Creed movies as a Rocky movie or no?
It's a good question. It's kind of like a cousin.
Okay.
I would say that. You know, I mean, Rock's in it.
Right. You know?
It's in it. Adrian's memory is there.
Right, exactly.
Rock's shedding some tears.
Yep.
You got Michael Johnson, who doesn't like Michael Johnson, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if I call it a Rocky movie.
Okay.
Though.
All right. I could. So we'll
I mean, what was the
Rocky.
Bad one where he had the computer guy fighting him? And what was
oh, that,
that
was. No, I like that one. That was Rocky Balboa. That was good.
That was
Rocky V was the one we pretend didn't exist with Tommy Gunn. That's the one
Tommy
we pretend.
And they fought out in the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one we kind of like pretend it didn't happen. But
Tommy Gunn died, right?
He
died of AIDS.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did.
He was a decent fighter back in his day.
Oh, he was for sure. Right. So. But yeah, Rocky II would be my all-time favorite movie, and I know I'm in the minority with that. And I know which one your favorite one's going to be.
My favorite Rocky movie?
No, your favorite movie.
Oh, there's no debate in the best movie ever made of all time, which is obviously Godfather.
I knew you were going to say that.
And I don't want to hear any garbage. Godfather 1 is way better than Godfather 2.
See,
Godfather
2
is a classic.
I'm the opposite.
It's classic, but really.
I think Godfather 2 is a better movie than Godfather 1. Love Godfather 1. I love it. But I think Godfather 2, much better. I love the Italian scenes. I love De Niro in it. But
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Boom! Wow, poor Apollonia. I mean, what the heck?
Right.
You know, I mean, they didn't have to blow her up like
no,
that, did
true.
They? But, yeah, I mean, so you like the De Niro scenes? Like,
I do.
I know. Teddy, what's up?
We got an appearance from Teddy here.
Teddy's here.
All right. All right. So my number two favorite movie was Godfather 2. So
I have Godfather 1.
All right. So your favorite movie is Godfather 1. So what's your number two movie?
Well, so I'm gonna put Godfathers in like one. You know,
okay.
So I'm not going to go like
all right.
that, but I'll put the Godfathers there. And Rocky, of course,
I can do
is
that.
In there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, Goodfellas is up
right.
there too, you know, but... I like the kind of the sports genre too,
mm-hmm.
so I'm gonna throw a sports genre in there as number two. I'm gonna go with this is tough. I'm gonna have to go with Major League.
Ooh, great choice. That's actually my next movie too. We agree on that.
Really
love Major League. So underrated. It gets like kind of relegated to that comedy genre, but it is a great baseball.
A little too
movie.
Much Jake.
Little
Jake
bit.
And Rene Russo stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, he's stalking him, but
right.
You know, besides that.
Mm-hmm.
Doran,
yeah,
Ricky Vaughn.
I
want to be Ricky Vaughn this year for Halloween.
Do you really?
I do.
Last year for Halloween, tell everyone who
I
were
was.
You?
I and you know it was. I realized how old I was when nobody realized that I was Marty McFly. You know, with the skateboard and the life
jacket
mm-hmm.
that they called it.
Yep.
Drinking a tab. I even had a tab. Nobody knew who the hell I was. Oh, you're a skateboarder guy? No, I'm freaking the guy from Back to the Future. I have a tab in my
mm-hmm.
hand. You know, but.
No, I didn't know.
Did you dress up last year?
I didn't.
No, huh?
I didn't.
I like the we had some teachers dress up as the Rocky characters.
Yeah, that was great. Shout out to the North Rockland Math Department for
math
that
department.
One. That
yeah, Rogers was a clubber, right?
Yep. That yeah, they did a really good job with that.
What are you doing this year for a dress-up?
I think the English department might do The Office, which you know might surprise you because that's my show.
How do you dress up as The Office? Like,
well, I think there's some signature characters there, and you know you can kind of go from there. But they're very nondescript. You're right; it would be hard to do. But I was trying to
find something like a retro TV show.
Right.
I don't know. Like, what do you think? Got any ideas for me?
I'd have to think about that one, but. You know, The Godfather might be a decent one to do. You know, you can get into that.
No, but you know, I don't like cats. I don't want to carry the cat around. I get a stuffed cat though.
Right, you could.
So, you know, as we kind of wrap things up here, as an English teacher, real quick, what book are you reading right now?
What book am I reading right now? That's a great question. My classes have really expressed an interest in some nonfiction, so we're looking at this book called The Other Wes Moore.
Oh, I love that book. I actually saw him speak
really
years back. What a great speaker, powerful. Makes you realize, too, like how people from different cultures deal with nonsense that we
right.
have to as white men.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really eye-opening, and I really love that. I actually saw one of our teachers at the extension, Marissa,
yes.
teaching at the students today, and I was just talking to her. Kids are like, seem like they're not paying attention, mm-hmm. like headphones, you know. And I was like, oh, I love that book. And one of the girls, I liked it too. And
oh, nice.
Like, wow, like these kids are really
great.
Connecting.
Yeah, it's really speaking to, you know, a lot of kids. And, you know, I'm glad to actually get a chance to dive in. And one of my things as an English teacher is to try to have an experience with kids, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and that's what makes it fun to just kind of really figure out from a kid's perspective, what are they thinking? What will work for them?
Mm-hmm.
How can we kind of give them what they need to get where we want them to go because we think it's in their best interest,
right.
but not taking so much control that they don't have any say in where they're actually going.
Exactly.
Because as much as we'd hate to admit it, sometimes they do know better than we do.
Right.
But anyway, you know, this has been fun. This is the
mm-hmm.
first, hopefully, of many. And,
yeah.
And I think... you know, I think we'll get better as we go.
Oh, we'll definitely get better.
But,
I always say I'm better the second time around. So if you give me a couple more chances,
but Gary, it's been a pleasure. This podcast and also all the things that we've done together, I certainly have learned so much from you and really appreciate.
And same here. Like I would not be here without you and your knowledge and your allowing me to take chances and take risks and not be afraid to fail, you know, that kind of thing. So that's
hugely
important.
And the same, you know, the fact that you've continued to push me to think differently as a leader. So, again, I hope you guys like this podcast. We're going to come back next week with building trust.
Yeah,
and some strategies on that. And we're excited about that. And we'll continue to give you guys our opinions. We'll be honest with you. We'll be real with you. We'll share our failures, our successes, and hopefully together we can learn. But you know, hopefully you'll check out our book, The
right.
Teacher and the Admin, Making Schools Better for Kids, which is going to be released on Amazon on what is it? 10-4 Good Buddy.
Yep,
right?
10-4
yeah.
Good Buddy.
There we go.
Amazon,
so,
Barnes and Noble.
Barnes and Noble too.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and
Barnes and Noble or Nobles?
Noble.
I like Noble.
I like Noble.
I don't like the S. What do you
no.
think?
I think it's Barnes and Noble, right?
I agree.
Noble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble. Teacher and the Admin, Making Schools Better for Kids.
That's right.
Barnes & Noble.
And you can...
Amazon.
That's right. Amazon. You can follow us on Twitter at Teacher and Admin.
Yep.
And individually at Gary Armita and...
Kay Felicello.
That's right.
And also www.theteacherandtheadmin.com. It's been a pleasure, guys. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. And until the next time, it's Chris and Gary signing off from The Teacher and the Admin.